back to the Stephen A. Smith Show on Mad Dog Sports Radio.
31 minutes past hour number two back here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Thanks again to Shakur Stevenson for coming on the show. Jeff Passan coming on the show a little bit earlier, talking about Major League Baseball, some of the conflict going on in that sport. It's my honor and privilege to turn my attention to college basketball. The person I'm about to talk to is one of the best coaches in the nation. Right now, his team is 23-3. They were in the national championship game last year. Over the last three games, or the last 3 years, he's won a minimum. Last 4 years, he's won a minimum of 32 games in each season. The man is spectacular. I'm talking about Coach Kelvin Sampson right here with Stephen A. on the Stephen A. Smith Show. Coach, how are you, sir? How's everything?
I'm good, Stephen A. Winston-Salem State's about 2 hours northwest of where I grew up. So I know all about Big House Gaines and Miss Clara and all that stuff. They're good people, man.
Well, listen, man, thank you so much. His wife was so wonderful. Big House Gaines, you know what he meant to me. But I'm here to talk about you because you've been doing a wonderful, wonderful job at Houston. And right now you're 23-3 on the season. I just want you to talk about the kind of season that you that you're having right now. And most importantly, the culture that you've obviously built at Houston over the last 7 to 8 years or so. Talk about what you've been doing, Coach.
Well, as far as the culture starts, I think it starts with your staff, having coaches that are invested in these kids' lives. You know, not every kid is going to be perfect, but being able to be good role models for them, recruiting high character guys, I think kids in high school now, they're probably choosing coaches and coaching staffs more, Stephen A., than they do universities like they used to. NIL has something to do with that, but also getting to the league, especially the higher level players. They want to go somewhere where they have a chance to develop. But I think our culture just starts with discipline. I think if you're consistent over a period of time, that's usually a reason why. And I think it starts with just being on time for things, holding kids accountable, making sure you're teaching responsibility as much as you're teaching accountability, being dependable, showing up every day with the right attitude and the right effort, having the standards that you're willing to enforce every day, or play up to the standards that you want your program to be known for. But that's fine and good, but you've got to have great kids that are really talented, and that's why we've had so much success over the years.
Coach, how difficult is it to instill that kind of culture in today's college sports climate compared to what it was a few years ago?
I think that's why Stephen A., it's important to evaluate as much as it is to recruit. Mm-hmm. You can't negotiate the kind of kids you want because he might be a star above, might be a five-star instead of a four-star, four-star instead of a three-star. Mm-hmm. I coach our kids. I'm a demander. I ask them to do things sometimes it's not real comfortable for them. So we have to be really good at evaluating and find out, does that kid really want to be coached? Do you really want to be good? Do you like basketball or do you love basketball? So when we're going out recruiting and we find a young man we like, we really have to vet him, not just through his parents or through his school, but you know, one of the best sources of information I found over the years is high school managers. High school managers don't lie. They see them when nobody else does. So I've gotten a lot of information out of high school managers and equipment guys and guys that's off the beaten path to find out what kind of young man he is.
Coach, one of the things that I do when I'm on a lecture circuit and I'm speaking to kids and stuff like that, one of the things I always tell them, I said, you know what? A lot of us have come from environments where you find yourself getting in trouble for hundreds of dollars, for crying out loud. What you think a program is going to do to make sure it protects itself when they're investing so much in you? A professional franchise is going to do when it's investing so much in you. Don't think for one second they don't know or they ain't going to find out every proclivity you have, what you like to do, who you like to hang out with, how late you stay up, when you go to bed, when you get up in the morning. They're going to know everything about you. Put that in perspective to sort of accentuate and illustrate or illuminate, rather, that comment that I just made. What a program is willing to go through in the vetting process to make sure that they have the right kind of character guys. Could you speak to that for a second?
Yeah, I'm gonna frame my answer by giving you a recruiting story.
Okay, so please.
So we're recruiting this young kid from Manor High School over in Austin, Texas. He's playing for the Toronto Raptors now, Jamal Shedd.
Okay.
He went on to become the Big 12 Player of the Year, the Naismith National Defensive Player of the Year. But we were recruiting him in his junior year in high school. So we go over, my son Kellen and I go over to his house in April. And we're sitting down with his mother and his father and him and his older brother, Jalen. We're talking about our recruiting process. And the mother was asking great questions. And I told her the importance of discipline in every phase of his life. And we talked about some of the stuff we said while ago about culture and being on time, showing up with the right attitude every day. Now, the mother and father are both career military. Mm. And so they had a nice house. They great mothers, fathers, parents, tremendous, tremendous role models. But this is the first time I had a parent commit before the kid did. I'm sitting there telling her all the things that our program's about, and she interrupts me, and you can call and ask her. She interrupts me. Her name is Lisa Shedd. Lisa goes, "Coach, he's coming. That's exactly what my boy needs. He needs discipline. He needs somebody with a bigger personality than him that'll show him what's important, right from wrong, doing things the right way, discipline. And if you can find a coaching staff that loves you enough to discipline you, that cares enough about you, that they're going to hold you accountable for the things that are important." Now, one of the things that I've learned after all these years, Stephen A., is I've learned to coach with one eye open and one ear closed. Mm. When I was a young coach, I had a tendency to see everything and react to it. I had a tendency to hear everything and react to it. So I've learned how to look but not necessarily see. I've learned to hear somebody but not necessarily listen to them. And I think that has bode me well, and it's allowed kids freedom to be themselves, to come into our program and develop as a young man. Social skills, that is probably more important today than ever before. Being able to go on do an interview with you and represent their family with class, allow him to be articulate and see things in a way that people see him. So all those things I've learned. I've certainly made my share of mistakes over the years, but I've learned from my mistakes, and I've really, really worked hard to help our kids learn from their mistakes as well.
Coach Kelvin Sampson, 12th season at Houston, right here on Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, one of the best coaches in the nation, a finalist for the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, by the way. Coach, got to ask you this. Losing the national championship game last year, that was a thriller, against Florida, 65-63. You talked about learning. What did you guys learn? What do you feel you guys learned from that loss? Because you could easily be sitting here as a national champion, reigning national champion right now. But that's not the case because of Florida and their victory over you guys in the thrilling national championship game. What do you feel what the mistakes were in that game? What do you feel your team has learned from it for this season?
Well, there's a finality to the season that never ceases to amaze me, Stephen A., because we live for 6-7 months based on the next practice, the next day, the next game, the next scout report, the next workout, the next development session. So it's just an ongoing trail of work, fun, togetherness, team, all the stuff that's important. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get to the Final Four and you realize you were probably a week away from the season being over. If you're lucky enough to win on Saturday, and there's no guarantee you're going to win on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And getting to Monday is a fairy tale. There was four teams in the Final Four, and I thought all four of them were good enough to win it. Auburn, Duke, Houston, and Florida.
Yep.
I thought any of the four would have been worthy champions. When the game is over, there's a just a rush of emotions. You're not really sure how to react. And then when you lose it, you become a shepherd because you have kids that's under your watch, and I have to care for them, make sure that they know that whether they win or lose, I love them. I love my team. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why I'm so hard on them, is I want them to be the best version of themselves they can be. But in a crushing moment like that, I think you just have to turn on your selfless button. You know, selfless to me doesn't mean you think less of yourself. You just think more of others. And in that moment, all I could think was to cry with them, hug their neck, tell them I love them, proud of them. All the emotions were for them. Now, when I got by myself, you know, it was like, what a great opportunity we had. I wish we had won. Right. That stayed with me for a long time. I saw Todd Golden at the Chicago Combine for the NBA draft and shook his hand, congratulated him, told him I was proud of him and the way he ran his program because they were great champions. But our team, like our program, we're resilient. We'll put ourselves in a position this year to see what we can do. We got some young guys that are hoopers.
Yep.
Great kids. I love my staff. I love my team. And we're going to gear up for another run.
It's interesting. And I love the last part you said you love your team, because I hear what you're saying, but you're not just talking about your feelings for them in terms of how much love you have for them as people,
right.
But you're also talking about what you believe their potential is, because you got some coaches that's very honest and forthcoming. I spoke to Danny Hurley a few months ago. He's like, last year we didn't have a championship roster. Let's just keep it a buck. Let's just call it what it is. We didn't have a championship roster, but I think we do now. You obviously are looking at your guy, Emmanuel Sharpe. You're looking at Fleming. You're looking at Seneca and these cats, and you know you've got some weapons. How good do you believe this team is compared to last year, even though obviously you were in the national championship game?
I think we have a chance to be more talented this year because of Fleming's and Cenac. We don't have the experience. We don't have those old heads, those wise dudes like L.J. Cryer and Jawan Roberts and Malik Wilson. We had some older guys that knew how to win. Nothing fazed them. I still think we're growing in that regard. We lost to a great Iowa State team on Monday night, and we've got Arizona coming up at home on Saturday. Then we turn around and go to Allen Fieldhouse to play Kansas on Monday. And I'm anxious to see how we play in these games. I thought we held up pretty good against Iowa State. Some things we can do better, and hopefully we'll learn from those. But we have a good team, Stephen A. I don't know that it's a great team, and it's going to take a great team to win the national championship. But we have a good team, and I think we're improving, and I think we're getting better.
Last couple of questions before I let you get on out of here, Coach, and I really appreciate your time. To win in collegiate basketball in this day and age, if you had to pick the number one thing that every championship caliber team must have to be seen on that level or to be perceived on that level, what would that be?
Maturity. You've got to have maturity, and you've got to have leadership. Most teams that underachieve, Stephen A., is because they have poor player leadership. Our success here at Houston is directly tied to our player leadership. I'd much rather have a player-led team than a coach-led team. We've always had great leaders here, whether it was Galen Robinson or Dejon Giroux, Marcus Sasser, Quentin Grimes, Jamal Shedd, LJ Cryer, J1 Roberts. I can go all the way back through our teams. You've got to have great player leadership, and they have to care more about winning than they do statistics. Talent is a given. Obviously, if you're at that level, you are very talented. But without that player leadership, without that caring about winning more than you do your own statistics, I don't think you can ever be as good as you should be.
Kevin Sampson, before I let you get on out of here, you coached at Oklahoma. You've been coaching. You coached at Indiana. You're coaching at Houston right now. You've won 70% of your games in your career. You've won 78% of your games at Houston over the last decade. You're a finalist for the Hall of Fame. What will that mean to you? I mean, we all know that if you know you're going in because you're one of the great coaches in basketball. What is it going to mean to you, sir?
You know, when I think about that, or when someone mentions it to me, Stephen A., I always go back to my mother and father. My dad was a high school coach through segregation in North Carolina. He didn't have the same opportunities that a lot of people had. I think I would be most happy for them to see that happen to their son, and knowing that through their raising the family that we had, that their son was able to do something like that. That would probably mean more to me than anything personal for me.
Coach, I'm going to let you go. I can't wait to see you against Arizona. I'm looking forward to that matchup. I'm definitely looking forward to the matchup against Kansas, but I wanted to congratulate you. I mean, the success that you've had over the last several years has been nothing short of sensational. Continue to be great. Know that you always got a home here. Feel free to come back anytime, and thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. I really appreciate it, Coach. You take care of yourself.
Thanks, Stephen A. Thanks for having me on, man.
All right. One and only Coach Kelvin Sampson right here. Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. I mean, the man just wins. I mean, I'm just looking at some of the stuff that this man has been doing. It's ridiculous, okay? I mean, you're just looking at it. Look at the year that we had now. I mean, over the last 5 years from 2021 on, 32-6, 33-4, 32-5, 35-5. Now they 23-3. You know, at some point in time, Houston's knocking on the door. They're going to kick it in. Win a national championship. Make no mistake, the man's a hell of a coach, no doubt about it. Looking forward to talking to him again sometime in the near future. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. Just 888-623-3646. You listen live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Tim in Florida, go ahead, man, before I go to break. What's up? What's on your mind?
Hi, Stephen A. It's a pleasure to have to speak with you. I know you've had a busy day with a lot of good interviews.
Thank you.
A couple of things. Number one, when they talk about the Mount Rushmore of basketball, where is Bill Russell in there?
Well,
number one.
Well, let me answer that first, and then I'll let you get to your number two point. Bill Russell is the greatest champion ever. As an individual skill player, his great it was defense and rebounding. And he was a leader, consummate professional. A stout defender and rebounder, not the greatest scorer in the world. He wasn't Wilt, but he knew how to do what it took to win. And he's a champion amongst champions. But when you look at the skill set, the Kareems, the Jordans, the LeBrons, people like that, you don't think about Bill Russell that way. That's why. But we all know he's the ultimate champion, 11 titles in 13 years, including winning it as a player coach as well. So it's just a phenomenal resume that none of us could ever ignore. We know better.
One other thing, if I may, are the owners going in there with at least a blueprint of what the salary cap they want to imply?
One would easily imagine that they always know. They just haven't told us. You know, they haven't told us, and that's really what the issue is.
Because salary cap is such a general issue, but I mean, do they have the details to present to the players?
Well, of course they do, sir. They're not going to reveal it before collective bargaining negotiations. But make no mistake, once they go to the negotiating table, of course they're going to have this information. We know that. Just because we don't know as of yet doesn't mean they don't know or that they're not going to know by the time negotiations come around. And also remember that negotiations are going to be influenced by the revenue that's generated over the next few months or so, because negotiations, even though collective bargaining is going to end December 1st, that's still months and months away. And so they have that amount of time to prepare, but also to count the dollars from the 2026 season to see what that can that can materialize into. And that's what you have to recognize.
And when NBC back in the picture, there's going to be a bigger prize, right?
We anticipate that, but you never know. I would say streaming services, that's gonna bring it to the forefront as well, because network television and cable television isn't trying to spend the money that it once spent. So we all know that, which is why you see leagues trying to globalize its brand effectively, and you're using streaming and other outlets that can extend worldwide and build a global audience, because there's more dollars globally, obviously, to peel from, and that's what they're all targeting. That's what we're talking about. Appreciate the call. 888-MADDOG-6, 888-623-3646. You listen live to Stephen A., Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with your calls to close out the show in a minute.